And you know, I forgot, this was Veterans Day weekend. So I guess in a way it's no coincidence that maybe they're going to be able to relate more to my message than maybe a lot of people. So thanks be to God. Please hear these words from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Thank you. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. Son, your sins are forgiven. Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up and take your mat and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home. And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified, saying, we have never seen anything like this. This is the word of God for the people of God. I'm going to set this here. Well, as I was starting to prepare the message for this morning, and I was thinking about it, it was actually last Sunday after I had attended this service here. And by Sunday evening, the rain was finally coming to an end. See, I live in East Aurora, and I'm sure you heard about the big hole that we have there. And my basement had only a few puddles here and there. But approximately 12 hours prior, that wasn't the case. Experiencing over 3 inches of rain within hours, my two basement drains were at capacity, and water was pooling all over the place. So I immediately called for some help or assistance. And with phone call suggestions and another offer of physical presence to help sweep out the water, and then even a water pump to direct the flow into the sump pump, a real disaster was averted. This time, I had the presence of mind to call others and find out what needed to be done. But you know, that always hasn't been the case in my life. So as I was standing there mopping and redirecting the water last Sunday, I couldn't help but think of a similar incident that happened to me at another home I owned approximately 20 years ago. It was a Saturday morning, and I needed to be at one of my first seminary classes. It was raining so hard outside that the water came pouring in through a basement window. And the scene kind of reminded me like a micro version of Niagara Falls. And I didn't know what to do. So you know what I did? Nothing. I did nothing. I remember feeling like I was paralyzed by the experience. Have you ever experienced something like that? It's like your brain is frozen. You want to do something, but it's difficult to even process what's happening, let alone attempt to do something about it. And I can only describe it as being in a state of shock for like 24/7. What I experienced is called PTSD, or post-traumatic stress disorder. This water experience wasn't the cause of my PTSD, but this experience triggered my PTSD. And PTSD is just one of many mental health issues. And although each mental health concern has its own symptoms, one thing they all share is at times a feeling of being in a deep, dark hole, trying to figure how to find your way out. You feel paralyzed due to the lack of supports that you need, be it medical or social. And much of this is due to what we call stigma. And that happens even within our medical communities. As a chaplain for a behavioral health unit at one of our local hospitals a couple years ago, I was often advised when sharing a patient concern with some medical personnel that the person or persons were out of their minds and didn't know what they were talking about. I recall one incident where I was in the psychiatric emergency room, and one of the nurses told an incoming patient that they couldn't have a sandwich. Now, this person was kind of in a manic state. That's why they're in the emergency room. And oftentimes, food does help to calm that situation. So I immediately went and took a sandwich to the patient. And the nurse followed me out of the unit and asked why I would do that when they told this person no. And I calmly said, "Bob, do you know that a side effect of most mental health medications is hunger?" He admitted that he didn't know that. I then asked Bob, "If someone came into the emergency room with a broken arm, would you ask him to hold a bucket?" Bob says, "Well, chaplain, of course not." So I continued with, "So why would you expect someone who comes into the psychiatric emergency room with a broken brain to think according to your expectations?" Well, Bob turned a little red in the face and admitted that he never thought of it that way before. You see, at this particular hospital, people who want to work in the regular hospital area, or what they call med-surg, typically have to first come to the psychiatric unit, because there's a shortage when it comes to medical people to help those who need psychiatric care. And you know, the stigma that we talk about and not knowing, it's just not with the medical community. It happens all over. In my first appointment as a pastor, years and years ago, a gentleman came into my office and I discerned he had some mental health concerns. And when I spoke to the other pastor about this, I was told to stay away from him because he was dangerous. Fear and anxiety, which, by the way, is another mental health issue, is rampant in our culture. People are so afraid of the unknown, aren't we? But what does Scripture tell us? "Fear not, for I am with you until the end of this age." I think many of you can recall a time when people would whisper about medical conditions. Remember the days when we would say, "That person has cancer"? Or what about the stigma that was associated with AIDS? Well, mental health issues aren't any different. It's a physical mental condition that has to do with the brain. Recently, a well-known physician where I live, and this was just 2 weeks ago, took his own life. 70 years old. And I had known that this person journeyed with mental health issues. But it was something he hid for fear of the response from patients and maybe even other medical professionals. And you know, he has reason for it. Because you might recall, it wasn't too long ago that we locked up all those with mental health issues. Well, at this doctor's memorial service, his pastor shared how kind and how much compassion this particular parishioner had. And the pastor then stated, somewhat choked up, "I wish I would have known or had the opportunity to help him the way he helped so many others." Like me, many who journey with mental health concerns have learned to keep it secret for fear of rejection. And keeping secrets isn't physically healthy, let alone the fact that you are made to feel ashamed about who you are. The inferred message by being isolated from others is that you don't belong with us. I was in a Bible study in a local church and was asked by the leader if I could do something about a person that came to Bible study who suffered with depression. And I asked what the problem was. And the leader of the study said, "Well, this person was interrupting the Bible study." Apparently, this person offered a little different perspective of Scripture, which wasn't the same as most others. Yet, the good news is, the Gospel of Mark today tells us a different story. In chapter 1, Jesus begins his ministry with an attack on the power of demonic possession and illness. And although, thankfully, Christians today rarely attribute mental illnesses to demonic possession or other diseases to divine anger, we're aware of the spiritual dimensions, aren't we, needed for healing. Yes, healing services are much, much needed and helpful. But another feature of illness that Mark's gospel illustrates is isolation. At a time when a hug or comforting words are most needed, those with mental health issues are isolated from their friends, communities, and at times, even their families. Social isolation or feeling abandoned, like being in a dark hole, is just as devastating as the illness itself. And we find in chapter 1 of Mark that Jesus didn't cut himself off from the leper, another social outcast. But what did Jesus do? Just the opposite. Instead, Jesus healed the man by reaching out to touch him. How often do our social structures exclude rather than include? In today's reading, we find that it took the presence of mind of four people to bring that paralytic to Jesus. They couldn't make their way through the people who were hanging out with Jesus. So out of necessity and persistence, they finally managed to find another way. It appears that Jesus' lesson in chapter 1 of reaching out wasn't lost on some. The faith-filled four found a way to bring another to Jesus. So what happens next? Jesus immediately dresses the paralytic as what? Son. By calling the paralytic son, Jesus is letting everyone know, this other is part of the family. And then Jesus forgives his sins. The teachers of the law get upset at Jesus because of what they're hearing. You see, humans often divide ourselves into categories of there's the righteous and then there's the sinners. But Jesus rejects that division. The righteous think that they know the conditions under which persons may expect to receive mercy from God. Those who experience, though, God's mercy and compassion are already trying to shape their lives by God's law. And their desire for holiness, it's not wrong. The failure occurs when the scribes mistake Jesus' ministry to sinners as blasphemous disregard for God's holiness. You see, Jesus establishes a pattern of holiness that invites the outsider into fellowship. In other words, the outsider becomes the insider. And forgiveness is therefore essential to the new community around Jesus. So today's story reminds us that forgiveness for all is central to healing. So we need a presence of mind to remember that we're all forgiven, not because of who we are, but because of who Christ is. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen.